Welcome back to the Real Arsenal Deal podcast. This is your host, Rav, speaking. I hope you are well wherever you are in the world. Thank you for joining. Thank you for tuning in. And we are here to discuss what we've just seen at the Emirates. A disappointing draw. Look, it must be said. I know it's just going to be a difficult match to fully properly assess because, look, the league campaign, it is what it is. It's fizzled out the last few weeks, unfortunately. And we've, I think, deep down, Arsenal fans and probably Arteta himself and many at the club, deep down inside, we've been resigned to the fact that that lead is just too much now behind Liverpool, and compounded by the injuries, lack of transfer activity, and these stubborn teams that we come across, these continual low blocks that continue to frustrate Arsenal, and our goals have dried up. And look, a long, long story short, that's a long way of saying I'm not particularly too bothered by this draw. I don't feel fully comfortable just saying that out loud, right, and admitting that, because we are Arsenal and we certainly want the standards. Like, we want a culture of high performance that we go out and win everything and every match. And just the reality is, through all the factors and more that I've just mentioned, it just hasn't been happening in the Premier League this season. And look, we've kind of known that as we sort of limp to the finish line of the Premier League season, but the reality is, as much as no one would want to admit this, look, all eyes are on Real Madrid. I mean, they really are. If you're like me, and I imagine this would count for many Arsenal fans across the globe, I've just been basking in the glory. 3-0. I love saying it out loud. We thumped them 3-0. I say it randomly to myself when I'm brushing my teeth, stepping out of the shower, going for a walk. I say, Arsenal just thumped Real Madrid 3-0. The most glorious free kicks you will ever see. I cannot tell you how many times I've watched them. Every single piece of content I could possibly consume on YouTube and on loop and all the social media little clips that I'm sent and that I find on and people share with me on WhatsApp and so on, I just hook it to my veins, right? I watch them all, and I watch it again, and then I watch it again, and then all of a sudden, like, a new angle comes out. There'll be something on YouTube Shorts, you know, all the people who were lucky enough to be there at the Emirates, who recorded on their phones from different angles in the stands, behind the goals, to the side of the goals, their view of it, the celebrations, the raucous nature of the crowd, the atmosphere, everything from the pre-match, the light show, the Champions League anthem that you couldn't really even hear because of the chanting in the crowds. I mean, I've watched everything. And I'll do it again. In fact, after recording this, submitting this podcast, I'm going to be flicking through YouTube. I think I've just about had enough of covering and watch the full replay of Arsenal Brentford. I won't be watching too many things in relation to that. I usually watch post match press conferences and analysis and all that sort of stuff. But I think I'm good. I think I'm good with that. My cup is not quite full of the Real Madrid stuff, so I'll be absolutely consuming as much as I can, and that was another long way to basically say I'm okay with this draw in the context of where Arsenal's season sit. We most certainly have a lifeline of this season, and boy have we needed it. Boy have the fans needed it. Like we have felt this looming this sense of dread, this sense of gloom that if we got done by Madrid, or even PSV before that last month, if we got done, the fallout in the final stretch of the season, like having it drag on week to week with just a Premier League to play for, and us knowing the inevitable that awaits, that our title race was done, it would have been really, really difficult. Out of all the other cup competitions too, right, Carabao Cup and obviously the FA Cup, it would have been really, really difficult given the expectations going into this season and amongst fans and many others, right? Even the players, you can see the belief that they're primed to win, they want to win. It just would have been really, really difficult. It would have been very hard to watch, and the narrative around it, it just wouldn't have been pleasant, Right, so I'm so proud of what they produced against Real Madrid. I'm so glad, I'm so happy for all my fellow Arsenal fans, for you listening, for all my kind listeners who tune in. I'm so thrilled for everyone. I'm thrilled for you, I'm thrilled for me, I'm thrilled for my sons. I watch the plays, look at the joy on their faces, look at the smiles, look at the people in the crowd. I'm so glad we've got this, because we've worked damn hard to get here. With intentional choices at the club, from executive level to board level, to the investment in the players, to making hard decisions with certain squad members as well, right? We've worked damn well hard to be here, and we're on the cusp of something great, right? I don't want to jinx it, right? I'm a very superstitious person by nature. I think I've mentioned that many times, right? So I sometimes just stop short of saying what it is I truly want to, but we're really on the cusp of something glorious to advance into a Champions League semi-final, and you can't help but feel that was the priority. That was the priority. It was reflected in selection. Even, I mean, let's call it for what it is. That's on Mikel's mind as well. He showed his hand last weekend with I think there were like five or six. Changes to the otherwise pretty typical regular 11 for Arsenal that he started against Everton last weekend, and you knew then that, look, Real Madrid midweek, the build up to that, one of the biggest matches ever that the club has had in certainly in a long time, like many years, and boy did we deliver, boy did the crowd deliver, the fans delivered, the club delivered with all of the focus, the communications about the pre-match and make sure you're there and all the little things that added the 1%, is like not showing the match live inside the stadium in the screens. They wanted everyone in their seats, seated on time, backing the players, right? And boy, did that make a difference. I'm convinced we don't perform as emphatically and comprehensively as we did without the fan support. I'm absolutely convinced of that. It was palpable. And then you contrast that to today. It was just a very different atmosphere. You could sense it. I mean, watching here, all the way over here in Australia, of course, right? So I'm not going to pretend I know the full match day experience. I'm certainly not going to pretend I'm an expert, right? I just go off just what my eyes see. You could just tell those little things. It just wasn't quite the same jeopardy, the quite the same intensity. Right, there wasn't as much riding, on the line here. Like you just saw with the kickoff, still, you know, some fans, you know, arriving in their own time, as you do, leaving a few minutes before halftime to get a drink and use the bathrooms, etc., and vice versa. When the second half restarted, you saw that again reflected in the crowd. It's just very different, and I'm not saying this is a good thing or a bad thing. I'm literally calling it for what it is, that our priority is on Real Madrid, and that's okay. Like we all know that we need to protect players. Can you imagine if he started a full strength 11 and someone like Timber goes down? You know, he's so crucial now, like the way he negated Vinny Jr., right? You know, and the injuries we've already suffered in defense. Can you imagine if Timber got injured? We'd be losing our mind. Why the hell is he playing? You know, Ben White is had a knock recently, and his fitness isn't there. Why would you do this, Mikel? The same could be said about a host of players, a number of players. Marino, right? Like what a goal threat he's all of a sudden out of nowhere emerged to become. He's an excellent finisher. I spoke about this at length in my last podcast. If Arsenal get shots on goal, I think right now I want Mikel Merino taking them. I really do. He's just a very technically gifted footballer, excellent technique. He puts shots on target. His conversion rate would be arguably the highest at the moment at the club. Any chance that comes his way, he's putting it on target. A volley or a first-time strike, we need him out there. So whether it's Merino or Timber or Lewis Skelly, right? If something happened to them and they started, that you didn't know the fallout. You know, the overwhelming message would have been like, "What are you doing? This match doesn't matter," so to speak. And whilst you know that's true to an extent. Every game does matter. Every win matters. Every point matters in the Premier League. But we just didn't want to find ourselves in a situation where we've got key players, almost irreplaceable at the moment, given the circumstances. If they got themselves injured, or if Saka started needlessly and he broke down again. So well done to Arteta in that regard. I know there are some injury clouds, which I'll come to in a moment. Sorry for the scattered nature so far of this podcast, because it's really, as much as I want to talk about the game, and I will devote some time to it, really, I don't think it's too unreasonable to suggest that our focus is very much elsewhere. It's midweek in Madrid. So Partey, it looked to me, and again, touch wood, I'm quite superstitious, as I keep saying, Partey, it looked precautionary. It just did. He was Mikel, in his mind, he does have some sort of pre-planned substitutions in his head. He probably has certain roles that are going to be time-shared, you know, 60 minutes, 30 minutes, so to speak, right? You saw that with the triple substitution when Saka and Odegaard, etc., came on. So I'd imagine Partey was as well nominated to be something like that, because he was excellent at the Emirates in the first leg, and he's had a lot of big game experience in Madrid from his time at Atletico. So he's essential. He's certainly going to start if he's fit, hopefully, touch wood. So I think that was precautionary to remove him out of the firing line. There's always cat and mouse, some mind games, some gamesmanship with Mikel's comments post match. You know, when he refers to it as something that internally in the club he probably knows already. But so I'm hoping that one's okay. Jorginho looked really, really nasty. That was it was strange watching, because there was that clash with Mbeumo, and then he played on. He seemed fine, but then all of a sudden, and maybe this is the nature of rib injuries. Like all of a sudden, like your breathing becomes more labored. It becomes more and more difficult to function. And then just out of nowhere, he had hands on his knees, and he collected a pass that I don't think he wanted, played it across to Saliba, and it worked its way out. And he just collapsed to the floor. Poor guy looked very, very, very shaky, very ginger coming off. And unfortunately, Arsenal have played the last few minutes with 10 men, right? Very, very unfortunate. All of our substitutions were used by that point. And look, if it's a broken rib or something like that, that's a blow. It is a blow. Like I'm an enormous fan of Jorginho. I think he's one of the utmost professional leaders you'll come across. It's going to be a hole to fill if he departs the club as expected this summer. He's a big game player. Big. You need him in this. You need him in the squad. You need him on the bench. You need his leadership, right? It's going to be a massive blow if he can't be there for Madrid. But look, we'll just wait to hear more about that. Look, speaking of 10 men playing the match with 10 men, I've got to say as well, and I don't want to do the whole refereeing thing, because I'm so sick of it. And as I've said repeatedly, I'm sick of the officiating conversation. Again, though, in the spirit of calling things like it is, goodness me. You can scissor tackle, so Norgaard can scissor tackle Martinelli, right? From behind, no chance at all of winning the ball. And it was high, like it went up the back of his calf to his knee. I'm like, and seriously, right? Like, how is this acceptable? The threshold for violent conduct, I don't even know what violent conduct constitutes anymore, to be honest, but the threshold seems to be lower and lower as they just seem to instead focus on technicalities, some random edict that they apply seemingly just for a few months, or only Arsenal gets punished for, and then a few months later anyone can do it, and those things don't really exist. But it's just bizarre, right? It is utterly bizarre. I can't really talk too much about that, because I can already feel the energy being sapped out of me just even mentioning it. But it was a red card. And we should have had the advantage of 11 versus 10. And unfortunately, these things just time and again continue, unfortunately, to be, we end up on the wrong side of the coin of those moments. Having said all of that, I mean, when you look at the balance of the match, the chances Arsenal created, how little Brentford created. This is a common theme, unfortunately, for Arsenal. How little we concede in terms of XG and we time and again our system snuffs out the opposition, but they just somehow conjure a goal out of nowhere, right? It's the story of the league season amongst so many of our draws. On the balance of the match, we should have won. We really should have won. The chances were there, that they really were. Trossard had a few moments early, got shots on target, forcing the keeper at Flecken into some decent saves to parry him away. The big moment for me was shortly after Brentford scored. We had that moment with Saka. It's a moment of genius from him. We emerged out of nowhere. His closing speed was fantastic. Dispossessed their keeper, Flecken, and he's come around the corner and he just, unfortunately, Bukayo, he just took too many touches. The goal was there. That they were trying to scramble back, get players on the line, but he would have had a good line of sight, and unfortunately, just one or two extra touches, and that the chance is snuffed out. That was a real moment. If we scored that, we're going to go on to win the match. I'm quite confident because we got stronger as the game went on, and there was only looked like being one winner in this match. Their goal, it doesn't reflect well on Arsenal. It's just, you know, we know how much Mikel, how much emphasis he places on duels. And we just got caught out on a number of repeated duels. The second, third duel, we didn't win it. And they broke away from Trossard and Martinelli in that little pocket, got in behind, and the ball came over, and they just had the extra number, the overload, and Wissa tucked it in from point blank range. It was just really, really just a very un-Arsenal-like goal itself to concede. But in the context of Arsenal's season, like just when we have, you know, we have otherwise quite comprehensive control of the match, we have the lead on the scoreboard, right? It's a very typical thing that we've seen Arsenal do this season. Kind of out of nowhere, we concede something that we really shouldn't be. And as much as you can, what's the right word here? I can say compartmentalize. That's it. As much as we can compartmentalize this match and the lack of intensity and the focus being on Real Madrid, the Champions League, yes, that largely applies for today, but we cannot avoid the uncomfortable discussion that this has happened too many times in the Premier League season, this entire season, over many, many months, when we were still in a title race, when we hadn't even made it through to this stage of the Champions League, when there was a number of matches where we've just dropped points needlessly. And it's a combination of lack of goals at the other end. I believe it's now 6 goals in our last 7 Premier League matches. It's just not good enough, unfortunately. It's just not good enough. And for all the understandable, compelling reasons, the injuries, we had, you know, Havertz out, Saka out for a long time, Odegaard's been missing for a chunk of time, Martinelli, Jesus out for the season, unfortunately, with the ACL. So all of the known contributing factors, yes, they're not forgotten or overlooked. Unfortunately, though, for Arsenal, when your goals dry up, you leave yourself exposed at the other end for a moment of out of nowhere, just like we saw today, and just like we've seen many, many times across the league season. That's 12 draws this season, unfortunately. And ironically, matching the Invincibles, the season tally of 12 draws. So 12 draws in isolation, right? That's not a deal breaker. The difference being the Invincibles won 26 matches and lost 0. And yes, there's still 6 matches to go in the Premier League season, and our final points tally remains to be seen. But Arsenal, sadly, too many draws at this point, and too many drop points. I believe it's 16 drop points now from winning positions, and they all have their own explanations and rationales, of course. However, a general undercurrent to all of that is that Arsenal just do not capitalize at the other end, converting our dominance of the game, our control of the tempo of possession, being largely untroubled, right? We cannot convert that in the final third. And it's not just a matter of, yep, let's just buy that world-class striker to finish. Yes, that's a huge part, of course. We all know that, yeah? We all know what the number one priority in that Andrea Berta has to finalize this summer. We all know that. It goes beyond that, though. It's just unpicking the lock, the creativity from midfield, that final pass, that final ball, the interchange between players, right? When we see the way that clubs continually set up against us, which, by the way, is not going to change anytime soon. Everyone knows, every manager across the Premier League knows how to negate Arsenal, and they're all going to be queuing up to do it the remainder of this season and next season as well, right? So it's up to us. The onus is on us to find the solution. I'm very confident we will with this manager and the correct choices in the summer window. The reality, though, when you look back, when you reflect on this season, these are the key components where we've fallen short, sadly. As much as all the other contributing factors go and ridiculous decisions from officials, again, which, you know, I can feel myself getting tired as well, just mentioning, but they all matter. They all count. No doubt they all count. There is, though, that final part of the puzzle where it's in our control, it's in our hands, and now it's up to us to address it. I'm very confident we can. So it's just one of those things that we see just repeating a pattern on loop in the Premier League. And like I said earlier in the recording, I'm just so glad now we've got the Champions League to really sink our teeth into. I'm sorry, I've realised I've recorded over 21 minutes and I haven't really spoken about our goal. I'm so sorry for that. That was a bit off script and not following the sequence I normally try and follow in my notes. But it was an outstanding goal, outstanding. It was pure Arteta ball. I loved the way Raya, he does this almost every time, right? When he grabs the ball, he catches everything near him, right, with such authority. I love it. Clean hands, one grab, bang, and then you're done. Immediately, though, he looks up and he's constantly looking. And what I love is just the automated nature of our players. Like Martinelli, like he just accelerates. He shoots off, right? The players shoot off. It's like aircraft in formation, watching them. Just how well coached they are, how well drilled. And when it comes off like it came off this morning, it's just a thing of beauty. It's a work of art. Beautiful roll and release to Rice, who is just in unbelievable form at the moment. My goodness, what a player. What a player. You see why he's called the horse. The way he gallops through there, it was just majestic. Magnificent to watch. You can't stop him. This man's running power is phenomenal. The way we overloaded Real Madrid's midfield was just, it was joyous. Lewis Skelly, 18-year-old, Thomas Partey, Declan Rice, they couldn't keep up. And these are wonderful, wonderful players in their midfield too, right? I don't need to tell you how good they are, right? You all know just as well as I do. Luka Modric, Jude Bellingham, Camavinga, right? We had them on toast. We ran them ragged with our just sheer running power and strength. And the way Rice galloped at the ball, he drove it, just cut through them. They couldn't even get near him. It was funny watching a reverse angle. I was watching it this morning with my sons, and they were both saying even the referee was struggling. Trust me, if you want to revisit the draw again, right? But if you do, please see if you can catch that reverse angle. Look at the look on the referee's face, right? He was like, from the breakaway from the corner, right? He was thinking, sorry, I shouldn't laugh, right? But he was, the look on his face was like, are you serious? For God's sake, slow down. Let me catch up. I can't do this, right? It was, and maybe that was the feeling that the Brentford players had too. They just couldn't keep up. Rice was unstoppable. And well done to Thomas Partey. Well done, right? Him too sprinting like that. I get a bit nervous. I certainly get nervous when it's going the other way, when he's right back and, you know, he's sprinting back like chasing the opposition winger. But he kept up. He went toe-to-toe with Declan. It was brilliant and a lovely layoff and finished with authority and bang, 1-0. It was a beautiful, beautiful goal. Well done to all of them. It was a type of goal that was worthy of 3 points, worthy of winning this match. And unfortunately, though, like I've already addressed, it wasn't to be. Just a few moments of just unusual loss of shape and ill discipline from Arsenal. We dropped 2 more points. So fantastic goal. And if we have them doing this kind of stuff again on Wednesday night, Thursday morning here in Australia against Madrid in the second leg, boy, oh boy, look out. Look out, because we when we're playing like that with such fluency, we're almost unstoppable,
right? Just the sheer willpower and running power. We can take anyone apart.
I strongly believe when we play like that, we play our game, our football, we are unstoppable and we can take anyone apart. And you don't do what we did to Real Madrid just by luck. Luck will only get you so far. It was expertly executed between the coaching, the tactics, the running power. We were just on it. And if we continue that, if we can replicate something like that in the Bernabeu, this week, my goodness, like anything's possible. And I'm going to whisper this part that there are a lot of other teams watching around Europe who are probably thinking the same if they come up to face Arsenal later in the tournament. But look, there's a huge match to get to, of course, before we even can even give that too much further thought. So speaking of which, I think what I will do, I will save the rest of the Real Madrid conversation for a recording, a preview recording in the coming days in the lead up to that match. I'll probably finish this one here right now. Okay. Thank you so much as always for tuning in. I've noticed in the last few days, I've received more reviews on Apple Podcasts, the app. Thank you so much. I've same with Spotify. It is so kind. The 5-star reviews, the comments, they all matter. They absolutely do, right? In terms of engagement and visibility of the podcast and its reach. I've also received my highest number of views on audio forms and YouTube from my post-match Real Madrid podcast. So again, thank you so much. Maybe everyone was in a really joyous mood and like me, wanted to consume everything out there. So that's very welcome from me. So thank you so much for everyone who continues to listen. And if you're listening this far, if you could please kindly consider liking, subscribing, leaving me a review, 5 stars will be most appreciated. And just look, you know, continually, thank you so much for tuning in. I'll be back on in a couple of days' time to chat more Arsenal in relation to Real Madrid. Until then, take care of yourselves, look after each other, and come on Arsenal.